The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 8, our text, verses 40 through 56. Hear the word of God. Now when Jesus returned, the crowd welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And there came a man named Jairus, who was a ruler of the synagogue, and falling at Jesus' feet, he implored him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. As Jesus went, the people pressed around him, and there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years. And though she had spent all her living on physicians, she could not be healed by anyone. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment, and immediately her discharge of blood ceased. And Jesus said, "Who was it that touched me?" When all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the crowds surround you and are pressing in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I perceive that power has gone out from me." And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him, declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." While he was still speaking, someone from the ruler's house came and said, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the master or teacher anymore." But Jesus, on hearing this, answered him, "Do not fear, only believe, and she will be well." And when he came to the house, he allowed no one to enter with him except Peter and John and James and the father and mother of the child. And all were weeping and mourning for her, but he said, "Do not weep, for she is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But taking her by the hand, he called, saying, "Child, arise." And her spirit returned, and she got up at once. And he directed that something should be given to her to eat, and her parents were amazed. But he charged them to tell no one what had happened. This is the word of the living God. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord will stand forever. Let us pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we pray now for that magnificent ministry of the Holy Spirit to come and to open our minds and hearts to receive this word, to teach us its truth, that we, your people, may know it and love it and obey it and find strength in it to glorify you in all things. So teach us, we pray. Spirit of God, minister to our hearts by this, the mighty, living, powerful word of God. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, our subject this morning is a miracle within a miracle. In the passage that Luke has constructed together, he brings two events together that intertwine, and he, like the other gospel writers, give an account of the meeting that Jesus has with a very needy man by the name of Jairus, to whom he responds, and he goes to the home of this man to perform the miraculous healing of the daughter, and as we see in the passage, raising her from death itself. But in the middle of that journey, he is met by a woman whose name is not given to us, who appears in this passage as a very needy person and as someone who needs the healing touch of Jesus, and he heals her. These two incidents that are recorded in all of the gospel accounts are intertwined. The healing of the woman with the issue of blood is giving evidence to us of the power of Jesus over disease. And the raising of Jairus' daughter gives evidence to us of the power of Jesus over death. And both are linked together in this one event. Both of these events point us to the fact that Jesus is characterized in this portion of Luke's gospel as one who has a deep, and abiding love for the needy. He cares for the needs of people. He is sympathetic to their needs, and by instructing us, the gospel writer Luke, as well as the other accounts which give the same story, the gospel writers are telling us that Jesus is sympathetic to your needs. He cares about you as he cares for these people that we read about in this passage. So let's observe what this passage reveals to us about the love and the care and the sympathy of the Savior for the needs of the people of God. The Savior who is always gentle, easy to be entreated, the healer of the brokenhearted, the one to whom the weak and the helpless may come, the comforter of the distressed, and as one author has said, the sick man's best friend, because he alone is the healer, the divine physician. The first person that we meet in this account is, of course, Jairus, and we're introduced to him as a great and an important individual, the ruler of the synagogue, not just an insignificant person who goes to the synagogue, but he is the ruler of the synagogue itself, a leader among the Jewish people. Not one that you would expect who would follow Jesus, let alone come to Jesus. But we're immediately struck by the fact that the text says in verse 41, he came to Jesus and he fell at his feet and he implored him to come to his house. Jairus had such a deep need that he didn't stand on formality. He came to Jesus and he humbled himself, falling at his feet, pleading with Jesus to come to meet his needs. We see the same with the woman. And Luke does not give us all that the gospel accounts record for us about this woman. The gospel writer Mark tells us about her thoughts. And Luke merely tells us that she came and she touched the fringe, the hem, the very tassel, if you will, at the garment that Jesus wore. But she thought, as Mark records it, that if I only can touch him, I will be healed. She had a deep need, and we'll look at her need as well. She had a need of healing, and she came to Jesus in that desperate need. So what you find here is the pairing together of two people with desperate needs, and their only hope in their desperate need is Jesus. Let's look at some of the thoughts that we can derive from the text and those thoughts that surround the woman and her problems, because she interrupts Jesus' journey. He is going along to respond to Jairus, and then it just interruptedly says, as Jesus went, verse 43, people were pressing around him. There was this great big crowd that was following Jesus. And in that crowd where Jesus was moving along as he was heading to Jairus' home was a woman. We aren't given her name. No one knows who she is. The writer of the gospel knows she's important. She's a woman with a great need. He describes that need, a discharge of blood for 12 years. She had some form of hemorrhaging of blood that for 12 years had plagued her. Here and the other gospel accounts detail that in such a way that we know that she suffered from it for some 12 years, and she also suffered at the hands of the physicians who tried all the forms of healing that their medical knowledge gave. One of them was almost rather humorous. It's recorded in the Talmud. In the Talmud, which is the Jewish writings that talk about the applications of certain things to situations, the writers in the Jewish Talmud tell us that a woman who has this hemorrhaging problem should be given this concoction, we would call it of some kind of tea, and she is to drink that tea, And the part I like about it is it says, if that doesn't work, then you are to give her that tea and stand behind her and shout and scare her. And one author said, you know, that would work for hiccups, but it certainly isn't going to work for a hemorrhage of blood. But that's what the Talmud authors offered. And that was the medical knowledge of the day. Aren't you glad you don't live with that kind of medical knowledge? My goodness. Yeah, stand behind them and shout and scare the dickens out of them. Well, the only thing I think that would help, as I said, is hiccups, not the problems that they prescribed this for. But Jesus could solve the problem. This woman knew somehow that Jesus could heal her. Not only did she suffer from this hemorrhaging problem and the ridiculous attempts of the physicians to try to help her, note what the scripture says in verse 43. She spent all her living on physicians. You can imagine that that's what you would do. You would spend everything you have to get well. And all that did was cause further heartache and further problems. We also know that because she was not healed, and it says so in verse 43, she could not be healed by anyone because she had a problem with bleeding. She had become an outcast from her community, for she would not be allowed in the synagogue. She was desperate in her problem, not only socially as an outcast, but now she is penniless from spending all of her money, and she still is suffering the pain and the difficulty of this constant bleeding problem. We have to look at this passage and see what the authors are telling us. Here is someone whose suffering is such that we can't hardly put our finger on it and identify with it, but it is immense suffering. This woman, Mark tells us, says, as her thoughts are revealed by the gospel writer Mark, Jesus can help me. So she comes to Jesus, unworthy, with no money, with all of her extremity of sickness. She merely comes to Jesus with the only thing that will provide an answer for her: faith that Jesus could heal her. And Spurgeon, as he commented on this, highlights that faith of this woman. He says, what a grand faith was hers that made her rise above her weakness, overcome her depression of spirit. I think Spurgeon probably was right. Wouldn't you get pretty depressed for 12 long years, day in and day out? Your money is exhausted. You go from one physician to another, hoping for a cure, disappointment. Hoping for a cure at this physician, disappointment. Hoping for a cure from another physician. And everywhere you go, disappointment. She overcomes that disappointment, that depression. She throws aside the lethargy that's creeping over her. You can almost imagine that she's wanting to simply give up. What's the use? It's been going on for 12 years. I've tried this physician. I've tried that. I've tried that one. I've exhausted every opportunity, every means. Nothing is working. I'd get kind of low. I'd get depressed. I could see this woman with a creeping lethargy, a defeatism. But everything is altered and everything is changed when she hears about Jesus. And it tells us that she believed that if she could only touch the hem of his garment, that she would be healed. And so the passage says, she comes up behind him and she touches, verse 44 says, the fringe of his garment. Some seem to think that she even felt that she was unworthy to touch Jesus, because in the writings of the Jewish people, it was inappropriate for a woman to touch a man in public. So she touches merely the hem of his garment, not him, but his clothing. But she believed that if she had that connection, that she would be healed. She had faith in Jesus to heal her. And that's the part of the story that the gospel writer highlights. He wants us to see that it's her faith that's the important thing here. It's not the fact that she touches the hem of his garment or the fact that she has had this terrible issue of blood and hemorrhaging for 12 years, but the fact that she went to the only source that could heal and restore her. It is Jesus, and we need to see that Jesus is the only one who can help us no matter what our need is. This is why the gospel writer places these accounts in this passage. And we will see with Jairus's story that it is to focus upon believing in Jesus. Bring him your doubts. Bring him your fears. Bring him your depression, your sadness. Trust him with all of those burdens that you carry, because Jesus is able to heal. That's the message that this woman's story transmits to us. And then we see that that was a story of great importance for Jairus, because remember, this interrupted the journey that Jesus was taking on his way to Jairus' house. It tells us that after Jairus made this great plea, implored him to come to his house, Jesus is on his way, and then the story is interrupted with the miracle in the miracle, the healing of this woman. Now, put yourself in Jairus' boots or sandals for a moment. You've asked Jesus to come to your house. He's your only hope, because your daughter is dying. Wouldn't you want him to hurry it up a little? Would you want him to stop at the roadside stop and have a bite to eat? Would you want this woman to interfere with progress towards your home? No. And yet the story tells us that that journey was interrupted, but it was interrupted for a purpose. And the purpose is that Jesus could demonstrate his power to heal as an encouragement for Jairus to believe. So the story picks up after Peter dislodged one of his feet from his mouth to make room for the other. As someone has said, I like that. We're like that sometimes. Peter says, "Master, the crowd surrounded you, and you asked the question, 'Who touched me?' Everybody's bumping into you." You can imagine as people are walking along, someone bumps into Jesus because they're walking together. And Peter, you know, he's the down-to-earth fellow. He sees everything clearly. And he says, "Master, everybody is around it. What do you mean, who touched you?" But Jesus has a point that he's going to make. His point is that the woman who touched him didn't merely touch Jesus with her finger, but she touched him with faith. It was her faith that was rewarded. And he says to her, after he calls her out, and he calls her out for the purpose of demonstrating this point to all of those who are there, but I think especially to Jairus, who is still sitting there. Imagine, "Come on, let's go. Why are we stopping? We have to get to my daughter's house." Put yourself in his shoes for a moment. I would be doing that. And Jesus calls this woman out. She comes forward. She makes it known that she was the one that touched him, the hem of his garment, and he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Again, the point is the faith of the woman. What do you think that healing did for Jairus, who now hears the very next moment that it's useless to go any further, because we are told while he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler's house and said, "Your daughter's dead. Matter of fact, don't trouble the teacher anymore." Jairus had just seen the miraculous power of Jesus to heal a terrible, terrible problem of suffering that this woman had endured. He had seen the power of Jesus to heal and the call to faith. And it was an encouragement for him to put his faith in Jesus. And then Jesus goes on and says, after he hears that the daughter is dead, he simply turns to Jairus in verse 50. He says, on hearing this, answered him, what? Do not fear, only believe. Faith. And she will be well. You see, everything is converging for Jairus to be encouraged to do the one thing that this passage is talking about, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. To believe. The woman was healed so that her faith could be the centerpiece of this passage. She was instantly healed from a torturing illness by the power of Jesus, so that Jesus could give that message of the importance of faith. And that faith was so very, very important. There were all kinds of people around. There was Jairus, there was Peter, James, and John. There was a whole crowd of people that were following Jesus. They wanted to see what he was going to do next. Was he going to be able to heal? He healed this woman. Was he going to be able to help Jairus and help that 12-year-old who was dying? What's he going to do? They had seen the miracles. But there was only one woman in that entire crowd who had such a faith that it reached out and laid hold of the power of God and found healing and obtained from Christ the healing that she needed. That's usually the case, as someone has said, even in the church. In the church, we have many, many people, multitudes of people in our churches. They fill our chairs and our pews, and hundreds coming to the table of the Lord, receiving the bread and the wine. But all of these worshipers and communicants, the author asks, how few really obtain anything from Jesus? We can go out of form and habit, custom, love of excitement, itching ear, or the true motives of faith in Jesus. There are some who come who touch Christ by faith and go home in peace. But it's true that many do not. We must ask ourselves, when we come to worship, have we come to trust Jesus, to receive from him that word that he has for us, to hear his voice in his word, and to have him minister to our hearts, to our needs, whatever they may be? The only way we must do that is by faith. And Jesus was not ignorant of the fact that someone had touched him, and that it was not accidentally but on purpose. And as I said a moment ago, that was not with merely a finger. It was with faith. He knew that it was that faith, to that faith, that the power within him responded and proceeded and brought forth healing. And he exhibits that in the life of this woman when he asks her to come forward and then says, go in faith, your faith has made you whole. That's what Jairus needed to see, because he needed to see that glorious miracle as proof of what Jesus could do even for the dead souls of those around him and his own daughter who lay dying. And we need to remember that Jesus can raise the dead, the spiritually dead, as well as the dead in Christ who will be raised by him one day. And the fact of his power is that fact which gives us hope. As this passage has two miracles intertwined with one another, let me give you this thought as we close. There is really only one message in the two miracles. Intertwined together, these two miracles, these two stories are given for the singular purpose of demonstrating the power of Jesus and the call to faith. What was it that Jesus said to Jairus when he heard that his daughter was dead? Wouldn't many people at that very point say what the people who gave that message said? Don't trouble the master anymore. It's all over. There's no more hope. But Jesus didn't say that. When he heard that, he turned to Jairus and he said, "Do not fear, only believe." The focal point of the passage turns on those two words, only believe. Believe. Believe in Jesus, who in miraculous power not only can raise a woman from suffering who suffered for 12 years, but can raise the dead and did by the power of God and miracles that are recorded for us in Scripture, show and demonstrate the power of the kingdom of God that invades our lives, the revelation of the kingdom of God, which confronts us with a decision for or against Jesus. And the message of the Scripture points us to the redemption of the kingdom, and that redemption that is revealed in the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ, and calls us to believe. Only believe. Believe in Jesus. Believe in the one who is the power of God for the salvation of sinners. Believe in Jesus, who delivers from sin and brings salvation to all who believe. Only believe. And if only believe is what you remember from this message this morning and carry with you and causes you to trust Jesus with whatever it is that you struggle with, whatever it is that you have, whatever it is that you need, whatever it is that confronts you, only believe, then the message of Luke and the other gospel writers will live in you as well. Only believe. Believe in Jesus, the Savior of sinners, for he is the one in whom the power of God unto salvation is revealed, the one who brings the kingdom of God into the hearts of his people, the one who calls us to peace and to faith and to trust in him. Only believe. Amen.